In the name of Jesus, amen. It's always St. Peter who's putting his foot into his mouth when he says what he says in Scripture. But Peter's not alone. Jesus says some pretty strange stuff too. Things that just make you want to say, what? Last Tuesday, I was privileged to bring the word of the Lord to the chapel service at Concordia University, Irvine. And the text that was chosen for the day was the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's a pretty crazy thing for Jesus to say, because as we all know, that's not how it works. The meek don't inherit nothing. They get walked on. Being poor in spirit, the mournful, the meek, those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, those aren't what we'd necessarily call a sign of being blessed. But as you know, Jesus' way of thinking isn't the way this frantic, scared, dying world thinks things should be done. Well, Jesus was on a roll in Matthew chapter 5, and so if the Beatitudes aren't surprising enough, then what he says next simply boggles the mind. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, what's not surprising is that this crazy world needs someone to jerk its chain and throw a bunch of cleansing salt into its open wounds. It's not surprising that someone needs to shine a darkness-piercing spotlight into the dreadful abyss of this world and reveal the failing tragedy of what everybody thinks is so good and wonderful. We know that. That's why we have courts, so that what's covered up in darkness gets brought to light. What's truly amazing is not that this has to get done, but who Jesus says is to do it. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You, Jesus says to his disciples. You, Jesus says to you. And that might just elicit a yikes out of you. The first thought that comes to mind is, no one likes people who throw salt into open wounds and shine light into places that are supposed to stay dark. No one likes people like that. Whether you think he's the worst traitor who ever lived or the man of the year, ask Edward Snowden if the NSA likes him. So Jesus, really, I'm not the droid you're looking for. I'm not really up to this. Little me in the midst of so much corruption, what can I do? A single grain of salt thrown into a huge seething cauldron of yuck? A single candle in the darkness of a vast cavern? If I'm supposed to be the light of the world, this place is going to stay pretty dark. If I'm supposed to be the salt of the earth, this place is going to stay pretty tasteless. Pretty tasteless and pretty dark. Because there's another thing, Jesus. I have enough trouble even with myself, influencing myself toward what's good and right, let alone the world. But that's what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's not the ones who are the world's brilliant ones, the promising stars, who Jesus calls his salt and light. It's not those of lofty speech and wisdom, as Paul says to the Corinthians. The influential politician, the savvy business person, the movers and shakers of this world who can actually make a difference. It's not them Jesus is talking to. It's you. Those who are simply followers of Jesus, you are salt and light, Jesus says. You are. You are. Not you must be. This isn't a must-do kind of thing, an imperative, a demand, something that Jesus says you have to do. If you're my disciple, then you have to be poor in spirit, mournful and meek, hungry and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, be a pure-hearted peacemaker, be persecuted, and be salt and light. No, this isn't something Jesus says you have to do. Well, good pastor, because you were scaring me. No, this is who Jesus says you are. You are all of these things because you are counted as one who is blessed. You are poor in spirit, mournful and meek, hungry and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, a pure-hearted peacemaker, persecuted, and salt and light, because by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, Jesus has worked all of this in you. He has blessed you by his grace alone. And so all of this you are. And that's where things get a little tough. This is where that internal struggle kicks in. It's hard to be who you are. It's hard for me to be who I am. And who are we? Children of God, watered in baptism, rebirthed, recreated in the image of God. It's hard to be who we are and not live in the image of this world. It's hard because the image of God seems so, well, weak and non-functioning. And the image of this world so strong and able to get things done. And it's a challenge to live as one redeemed by Christ for another reason as well. Because Satan is always tempting us to be someone else. To be less than we really are. And here's the deception. He makes it look like less is more. And that fallen, sinful, broken part of each of us wants to believe that lie, that less is more. Don't be fooled. You're more than all of that. You are a child of God brought to light in the waters of your baptism. Receive this burning light, the baptismal liturgy declares, to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. You are light and you are salt. From the early church on, in baptismal liturgies around the world, salt is blessed, so to speak. It's consecrated, in a sense, set apart, salt, and then placed on the tongue of the one who is being baptized, adult or tiny little baby. Don't tell your doctor, for heaven's sake. And don't dare mention that you've given salt to your pediatrician, to the baby. Mm-mm. But that's who you are. Little you. Part of the light that is light in the darkness. Preserving salt in a fast decaying world. And so live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's who you are. That's what God's called you to be. In all of the things that God is doing for this world through you, in all of your vocations, whatever they are, being salt and light weaves its way through all of it. And know this too. No one else is doing this. No one else has been called to this. You know, there's some amazing people and some phenomenal charities out there in this world doing wonderful things. And that's very, very good. But they're not given the vocation of being salt and light. Not the Red Cross. Not the Bill and Linda Gates Foundation, not the American Heart Association, not the rulers of this age, not the movers and shakers, not the influential, but you. Only the children of God in Christ Jesus are God's salt and God's light in this world. And so, enlightened by him, Jesus says, just be who you are. Who are you? Your baptism will tell you. You might wonder from time to time whether or not you've got a purpose in life, a reason for living. Now, you usually don't wonder that kind of thing when everything's going well and everything's looking up. It's life's little or big tragedies that make us ask that kind of question. You lose your boyfriend. You get an F. You lose your job. You fail at a class. You mess up big time. You lose a child. You disappoint your parents. You lose your spouse. And you wonder, what's my purpose anymore? Why go on living? You get old and you can't do anything anymore, or it takes you forever. And you wonder. Not that this takes the pain away, but these words of Jesus to you today reveal the fact that God has vested you, even as broken as you are, with an incredible honor and an eternal purpose in life. Your life is not pointless. Being a child of God is not like biding your time here on this earth, standing on the street corner waiting for the bus to heaven to arrive. Being a child of God is to be living, breathing gospel in this broken and dying world. In the world that's out there, and in the world that is inside of these walls, and in the world of your family, to your spouse, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your in-laws, and even to your outlaws, preserving salt and blessed light. True enough, through the pen of St. Peter, God calls us always to be ready with a defense for the hope that we have within us, and well, we should be. But on the other hand, as salt and light, we're on the offensive against Satan. And what's a powerful offense against Satan look like? Like a crusade against his minions in Hollywood? Like a blitzkrieg against immorality? Well, Jesus gives us a hint. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Your good works. In the name of Jesus, throw salt on the old satanic slug. Your good works are light that scatters his demonic cockroaches. Satan likes dark. He likes it when forgiveness has to be earned. He especially likes it when Christians charge each other for it. He's pleased as punch when grudges are held because feelings got hurt and feathers got ruffled. He's thrilled when disagreements cut us off from one another, especially within Christian families. Satan's heart is warmed when we grow ice cold. But Jesus is the light of the world, shining the light of God's love and forgiveness and life into the inky blackness of death. And he's scattered not his angels, but you, his Christians, throughout this world, that wherever you are, in your family, where you work, amongst your neighbors, he has scattered you there to be salt and light in that world for Christ. That's what you are. Me? Salt and light? How so? I'm hardly one of Jesus' bright bulbs. The only saltiness I've ever been accused of is that of a drunken sailor with language to boot. Me, salt, and light? Yes, you. Not because you've performed so admirably that you deserve such a wonderful title, but because Jesus did it for you. He's fulfilled the law and the prophets. He's done it all, and he did it in your place. And because he's done it all for you, in your place, and because you have been baptized into his life, death, and resurrection, all that he has been credited to you, and all that is yours, your sin, is credited to him. And that puts a whole different spin on what the world sees as commandments. We don't just keep the commandments as if it is now our job to do that. I've got to keep the commandments because now I'm to be salt and light. No. Now we are free to keep them. Free to live them. Free for the first time in your life. When you had to keep the commandments so that God would love you, you weren't free. You had to keep them, otherwise you'd be damned. But now that Christ has kept them for you, now you're really free to love God who loves you and to love him with your heart and mind and soul. Not because he demands it, but because he loves you. Now you're free to do good works, to love your parents, to love your spouse if you have one, to love your neighbor, not to earn frequent flyer points with God, but because he loves you. Now you're free to be preserving salt and precious light in their lives and them in your life if they are in Christ. Now you'll mess this whole thing up. I know I do all the time. Because that old Adam who was drowned in baptism hasn't gasped his last breath. Being a good swimmer, every day he comes up sputtering, climbs out of the side of the font, shakes himself off, and demands you acknowledge him to be the real you. You'll give in to Satan's lie that less is really more. You'll fail at being who you really are. Your sinful nature will get the best of you, and you'll start fearing Satan and his tempting and his temper, thinking that his violent thrashing about is a demonstration of his power, rather than seeing it for what it really is, Satan in his death throes. And that's why it's important for you to be here, gathered together with God's salt and light, hearing with your ears what you hear nowhere else. Hearing Jesus say to you, your sins are forgiven. Rise, my son. On your feet, my daughter. You are salt, salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are Christ's, and he is yours forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.